Notice! Notice! This midweek mini was recorded several months ago and may not be up to date with current events. For fresh minisode uploads with every episode, head to patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
And yeah. Welcome.
Oh yeah.
To Minisode 254.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
254.
254. Oh yeah.
Great intro we've worked on over these years. Yeah. All these years.
This is what 8 years of content creation with you has led to.
It's called
What are you talking about? You did this from moment one.
It's called a collaborative partnership. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it wouldn't be.
This
able
is
to
a new
you.
Yeah.
The fact that you keep doing it says a lot about us as people.
It feels new every time, and that's saying something, isn't it?
Yeah, if you have a home run, you hit it as much as you can, right?
Every time. Never change a thing, never adapt.
Speaking of partnership, I got a post from Our Paranormal I want to read for you guys that kind of... I didn't expect today's episode to kind of also go into the realm of my episode last week about kind of like making things real by believing in them. But
well, we dipped like the pinky toe into that at the end.
But along those lines, I found this the other day and I flagged it. And then I forgot that I only had a one parter. So I'm just going to do it anyway because it kind of has that flavor to it. This is from Our Paranormal from Educational Basil. The title of this post just cuts off. So I'm just going to like go in. There's a trigger warning for abuse on this post, but it's not so bad. So here we go. I've been thinking about sharing this for a while because my mom has told this story the same way her whole life, and I've never been able to figure out what it could have been. She's a very straight-edge, logical person who doesn't lie, exaggerate, or make things up. So when she says this happened, I believed her. I believe her. I feel like there are people like this, by the way. I feel like there are people that I just believe based on the way they are, which is...
I don't anymore. I got tricked by that previous episode.
Yeah.
So I don't believe anyone no more.
When my mom was around 4 or 5 years old, she was going through a very abusive situation. Her father hurt her regularly and even let his friends abuse her too. One day, after a particularly bad beating, she was hiding in the closet, crying and feeling completely alone. She remembers feeling unloved, scared, and just totally broken down. That's when something appeared in her closet. She says it was about her size at the time, maybe 4 to 5 feet tall, with the face of an old man and an upturned, almost pig-like nose. It told her it didn't have any friends either, and that it would be her friend. From that moment on, they basically spent all their time together. They played with toys.
It's the squonk.
Yeah, they played with toys, solved puzzles, looked at books. She remembers all of it very clearly and describes him as a real friend who made her feel less alone. He was protective, too. One time, she wandered off into the woods near her home, and it scolded her and brought her back. Whenever adults were around, it would disappear. She said it would crawl under her bed and go into the wall through a little door, but whenever she looked afterwards, the door wasn't there. For a long time, my mom thought maybe it was something her brain created to help her survive what she was going through. The only problem is, the reason my grandma moved them out makes my mom sound a lot less crazy. One day, my grandma was walking past my mom's room and heard my mom talking to what she thought was herself until she clearly heard a grown man's voice answering her back. She rushed into the room, but no one was there. My mom told her about the little man, and the very next day, my grandma moved them out of that house. My mom remembers that last night clearly. She says the little man showed up one more time, angry and upset that she told her mother about him. He said they couldn't be friends anymore. She never saw him again, but she still gets sad thinking about him because, in her words, he was my closest friend back then, and I miss him. I'm not trying to jump to conclusions about what it was. I honestly don't know. Maybe it was some kind of coping mechanism. But the way she describes it, and the fact that my grandma heard a man's voice, has always made me wonder if something else was going on. So, I'm posting here to ask, Has anyone ever heard of anything like this? Something that appears during childhood trauma, interacts, hides from adults, talks with an adult's voice, and then disappears for good once discovered. I'm genuinely curious if anyone has experienced or heard of anything similar. And that is the post. But
where did this happen?
This is, I don't know. It's this person has kind of like a good command of English, but that doesn't really mean that much. I assumed American just based on the syntax. But in the comments, somebody says it sounds like a domovoy, which is a Slavic rooted household spirit. And a paranormal researcher, Chain and Scale, chimed in and said, I'm Slavic, and this came to mind, but usually a domovoy would want to go with a family if they moved. Folklore says you also aren't supposed to see them, and so long as you keep the house clean, leave an offering once in a while and they'll be happy. The attitude in the house, though, with the abuse would probably have made one beyond angry. However, it probably would have made its dislike known visibly. Perhaps it decided to forget the no-contact rule and allowed the daughter to see him.
It also... Wrinkly face, pig nose, sounds like a squonk, dude.
Lonely. The squonk sounds a little bit more thirsty or desperate in another
desperate
way.
For a friend. He just wants a friend.
That's true.
That's a good one. Shout out to the squonk.
I like that story. It's a good story.
One of my favorite cryptids. I love a squonk.
I love the squonk. He's one of my favorite.
Yeah, I love a squonk.
It has like imaginary friend, but like book kind of imaginary friend vibes, yeah. This story. Like there's like a fairy tale element to it. And a lot of people in the comments are guessing that it was like some kind of like, yeah, like third man syndrome or something like that, where you manifest a helper.
That's cool.
And you like do like red rum type stuff where you're like doing it yourself and you're talking to yourself, but it's like it genuinely feels like another person.
That was a good story. I kind of want to do mine real quick because it ties to Jesse's from last week, if you're cool with that.
Oh, okay.
Remember how you talk about the universe and like they measure the universe and it's another thing? This is from a week and a half ago. Another thing that's making people question, the scientists question, whether the universe is like as we expect it to be, is that our solar system is moving 3 times faster than previously thought. A new study is now challenging previous models. A team of scientists specifically set out to determine the motion of our solar system as it flies through the universe. And to do so, they analyzed the distribution of so-called radio galaxies in the night sky. These are distant galaxies that emit particularly strong radio waves. And as the solar system moves through the universe, its motion creates an extremely faint headwind characterized by more radio galaxies appearing in the direction of travel. As the signs are so subtle, only the most sensitive instruments are capable of providing the necessary data. The team used observations from low-frequency array telescope, a Europe-wide radio telescope network, and they combined this with data from 2 other radio observatories. The team published their findings in a new paper in the journal Physical Review Letters. Quote, our analysis shows that the solar system is moving more than 3 times faster than current models predict, lead author explained in a press statement. This result clearly contradicts expectations based on standard cosmology and forces us to reconsider our previous assumptions. The combined data from all 3 radio telescopes revealed a deviation higher than 5 sigma, a very strong signal. The team's measurements showed an anisotropy or dipole in the distribution of radio galaxies. This was 3.7 times stronger than predicted in the standard model of the universe. If our quote, if our solar system is indeed moving this fast, we need to question fundamental assumptions about the large-scale structure of the universe, Professor Dominic J. Schwartz, cosmologist at Bielefeld University and co-author of the study, explained. Alternatively, the distribution of radio galaxies itself may be less uniform than we have believed. In either case, our current models are being put to the test. So there you go.
That is
more
crazy.
Evidence our universe is not growing, or we're not even moving as we thought. We're moving much, much faster than we thought.
Shit
potentially
blows me away. Wasn't there some experiment in the Victorian times that was like to see if we were like in some sort of ether wind? This kind of like reminds me of that. I don't know why.
I don't know. I don't know that study. That's a weird one, but no. So more universe unknowable. Who knows how fast it's expanding or what the fuck even the universe is. Jesse, take us out of here.
Gents, I want to take you less out there and more in here, man.
Oh, in the mind.
In your brain. Because
in the brain place.
Hell yeah, bro.
There was an article on NBC that I got through the Coast to Coast AM website. Shout out to that website. About the human brain and its five epochs of aging. So apparently we all have distinctive phases of when our brain completely changes. There are characteristics and brain changes that happen at five crucial times throughout your life. And they're super interesting. And they, a study that was in the journal Nature Communications suggests that we don't just slowly increase cognitively as we age and then we just decline. There's phases to it. So the first phase is from when you're born until you're nine. The brain okay. is basically gray and white matter and its synapses and things structuring itself. Basically, you got a bunch of goo up there.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Then from age 9 to 32, it's the only time in life where our neural networks are becoming increasingly efficient, according to the research. It's up until this point that we're all coming together, but right now, it's like working, we're cooking. Things are, our brain is actively forming, and this is probably the part of your life where you should be doing the most reading and like engaging activities and not staring at a computer screen, just putting that out there. Then, from 32 to 66, the average person's brain's architecture essentially stabilizes. There are no real major changes. At the time, the researchers are doing this, it's basically like a plateau of intelligence and personality. If you're 32, you're going to be the person you are until you're 60-something, right? Like, you're not going to change dramatically.
Great.
Yay!
Then, from 66 to 83, the person tends to, the brain tends to be more modular, where neural networks are divided into highly connected sub-networks with less central integration. So, like, it's a different beast up there. You're not firing on all cylinders. Things are like, oh, all right, this is what we're doing. Oh, no, we're doing this now.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
We're doing
that.
This now. And then from 83 on, the brain just becomes increasingly reliant on individual regions as connections between them begin to wither away.
Good.
So that's why you have a lot of old people just take some a minute to like click.
Great.
Because their brain just, the connections between parts of their brain are just weaker.
Can't wait for my brain to break down. Seems like it'll actually be kind of chill probably.
Yeah, you probably won't really notice all that much. I mean, you'll notice, but nothing you can do about
Stick
it.
Stick me in that thing that Chewbacca's dad was in, or granddad, where he watched sexy dancing girls and he just put him in the VR and he just sat there all day like... That's what I want. Yeah. I'm fine with that. That's the future I'm here for.
I know.
The findings could help identify why mental health and neurological conditions develop during particular phases of rewiring. For their research, this group had like a bunch of MRI scans that they went through. They were, I think it was 3,800 people from newborns to people who were 90. And the goal was to map neural connections, and this is kind of what they discovered as they did that. I think it's pretty neat.
Fuck yeah.
Well, can't we have so much to look forward to, boys.
Yep.
Our brains.
You know what? I face it. I'm ready. Like, I feel like the psychedelicness of that is, like, enough of a challenge for me. Like, to get a little dumber kind of sounds nice.
And there's studies. I mean, it's early studies, but there's studies that show psilocybin helps rebuild neural networks.
Okay. Well, there we go. Check out.
Just trip out. As I get older, I'm going to do mushrooms more often until I am living in a world where Vulcans are rotating their
turns. None of that sounds, none of that sounds
like Molecule Mindset naughty. Available now on YouTube. Check it out.
Thank you all so much for supporting us here. Patreon.com. We'll be back next week with another mini-sode for you. We appreciate you. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
And if you're 80 and you just forgot what we did, just listen to the episode again.
Yeah. Do it. Listen to it twice. That's twice the impressions.
Exactly.
You're welcome here.